realizing that you could get 51 days of free meals makes a little bit of planning worth it. And knowing that it really makes a big difference, not only in your time and your budget on the personal level, but it makes such a big difference in terms of our natural resources.
More than one-third of the food produced in the United States is discarded. And on average, households in the U.S. throw away 14% of food purchases. However, a K-State Research and Extension human nutrition specialist says there are several things we can do to reduce and even eliminate food waste. On today's Sound Living, reducing food waste in the home. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman. Mary McHiggin says there are many reasons, both personal and environmental, for consumers to reduce the amount of food they waste.
On the personal level, let's start with that. First of all, avoidable food waste can spoil your budget. You know, it costs money. And then the second aspect is our time. Since we have to spend time to go to the store again to buy more food, bring it home, put it away, prepare it, take out the trash, than we otherwise would if we hadn't wasted what we bought the first time doing all of that. And then the second category is more at a global or environmental level because it wastes our natural resources. Avoidable food waste is like leaving the faucet running because it's responsible for about 25% of all freshwater consumption. And then another aspect is the solid waste in landfills or incinerators, because less than 3% of our food waste is actually recycled. And decomposing food in the landfill is a major source of methane. And methane, of course, is the greenhouse gas, and it warms the climate 21 times more than carbon dioxide.
And just how big of a problem is food waste?
Well, more than a third of the food that's produced in the U.S. is wasted. But at the consumer level, on average, households in the United States throw away about 14% of the food that we purchase. And if instead you didn't waste food, that would be like eating for 51 days for free, a little more than 7 weeks. Or if you want to think about it at the calendar, from November 10th until the end of the year, you would have free food. And I do want to be clear about one issue as we talk about this. I'm talking about avoidable food waste. But once it's gone bad, I don't want to encourage people to eat it anyway. The idea is to prevent the food waste, but if it's gone bad, perishable leftovers that are no longer safe to eat should be tossed into the garbage, because even though those big issue problems happen, for you to risk getting sick is not worth it.
Are there some foods that are more likely to be wasted?
Yes, there's fresh fruits and vegetables. People would probably think of that first. Beverages, bread and other bakery products, dairy products, eggs, meat, and fish. Those are the most common categories.
What are maybe some ways that consumers could waste less food?
Just to buy what they need and use what they have. If you can't use it up before it's going to go bad, then just don't buy it to start with. Another thing would be to eat what you have on hand, to look in the refrigerator, the freezer, the pantry, and use that food before you buy new food. Another thing is to refrigerate those leftover perishable foods within 2 hours and then make a plan to use them. You know, you put them in the refrigerator and you don't think about them again, but within 3 days, you should be eating those or freezing them. Another way, as we're serving the food, is to plate less. In other words, to serve a more appropriate portion size and go back for seconds if you're still hungry for more. Also, consider buying more non-perishable food. If you're cutting back on the amount of perishable, then get the equivalent amount as frozen food, canned food, dried food, for instance. And with those, you want to try to select the most distant best use by date so that you're not getting something that only has a shelf life of a couple more days. And when you store those pantry foods, put them in the order that they're best used by so that you're storing the ones that are going to have a sooner date up front and the ones that have the longer shelf life in the back. It's easier to do that when you're putting them into the cupboard than when you're pulling them out. And then the last thing is to preserve those foods that you do have on hand for future meals.
And what are some ways you can do that?
One way is to freeze those perishable foods. And so the excess food soon after you buy it, for instance, if you bought a big package of meat, within a couple of days, you would either cook it or freeze it raw. I mentioned if you can't use it in 3 days, then you should do something else. And that's where the freezing comes in. For instance, if you had an extra serving of meat that you cooked for the meal, you might have even planned it that way so that you would have some of those meals in the freezer to save you time later on. Or if you won't drink all of your dairy product, let's say you bought a gallon of milk and your family can't use it by the time it's going to be sour. So then you would freeze some of that extra milk in a container and pull it out, thaw it in the refrigerator, and you would have it then so that it doesn't spoil. Another common product, bread, might mold if it was left out for a long time, and it's sometimes hard to use the bread up before it's stale or even moldy. And so again, you can freeze that in airtight containers, and that way you just pull it out. It's really marvelous in terms of a tight time schedule some evening. You just pull out some of those foods that you've popped into the freezer and either thaw them in the microwave or thaw them out during the day. Maybe you pull them out in the morning and eat them for supper that night.
I think you said earlier one of the biggest problems is fresh fruit, fresh vegetables. What can we do there?
One thing would be to select the ones that you're going to buy that are already slightly firm and have no sign of bruises or decay, and to place those foods that you want to use first in the most readily accessible area of your refrigerator. So when you look in, you see those first. Also to use those fragile fresh fruits and vegetables, planning to use those within the first few days and then using the more durable ones later. For instance, a fragile fresh fruit might be berries. And so if you wanted to eat them fresh the first night and then put them in a smoothie for the next day and then maybe freeze the rest for a dessert that you're going to fix later in the week. Another thing would be to just use more of the fruit and vegetable that you've bought. So instead of peeling the potatoes, for instance, just go ahead and mash them or bake them with the peeling on and eat that also. Or if you're having some kind of fruit, let's say an apple, instead of peeling it, even in a dessert, just leave that skin on it. Another idea, if you don't want to eat those, is to peel them, but then use them in a soup stock. So you boil the carrot peelings or the potato peelings or whatever it is, and maybe have some meat bones, and so then you could make a really nice broth for your soups. Another idea for how you can prevent waste of fruits and vegetables is to make sure that you're just buying the amount that you need, but also that you're storing them in a way that suits that type of vegetable or fruit. For instance, some fruits don't ripen well in the refrigerator. They turn brown. Bananas are a good example of that. So you want to keep those at room temperature. Or oranges or melons, tomatoes, white potatoes, sweet potatoes, onions. You know, there's a lot of vegetables that you want to keep at room temperature, and some fruits as well. Others store better in the refrigerator. Others, like tomatoes are an example, you want to ripen them at room temperature and then pop them into the refrigerator so that they don't continue to ripen and spoil. Some fruits and vegetables make an ethylene gas, and those would include like apples and bananas and pears, and that can spoil the fruits and vegetables that are stored next to it. So, you know, just learning some of those things so that you don't store the, let's say, the apples or the pears right next to your leafy greens or your celery so that you don't have accelerated spoilage among those leafy greens. And then another way to prolong them as you're handling it is not to wash them first. For instance, those berries or mushrooms or fresh herbs, let's say you bought some cilantro, something like that. If you wash them first, they've got all that moisture, and so they're more likely to mold. So it's best to use those unwashed in the refrigerator in some kind of moisture-proof container between paper towels so that the paper towels absorb the extra water, and then wash them just before you're going to serve them. And then one more thing I'd like to talk about, and that's how much you cut up ahead. And I know that there's always advice, and I've given it to cut up those fruits and vegetables so that they're ready to eat, you know, and that way you don't have to cut them up right before you want a snack or the meal. But do it in moderation. If you cut up the whole amount, you're going to probably have some food loss. The cells are broken as you cut through the plant food, and that can start germs to start growing and the spoilage can start. So cut what you'll eat in the next 2 days and be sure that you store all that cut produce in the refrigerator, not on the shelf or the countertop.
And really how we store food, especially leftovers, is really important in terms of food safety, but also in terms of not wasting food.
Yes, if we can make those plans for how we're going to use them and then eat that in the next 3 days, and you've got wonderful food that you've just gone out and bought, you've paid a lot of money, you've spent a lot of time to get it and prepare it, cook it, and all the natural resources that go there, and then you let it go to waste, you're really just spoiling yourself in terms of the wasting of your time and money and natural resources. So one thing you can do to plan ahead would be to pack your leftovers and use those as a school lunch or as the brown bag idea. Put them into reusable containers and have them for lunch the next day. And for that, of course, you'd have to have some kind of way to keep those foods cold, either putting them in the refrigerator at the office or, if that's possible, at school, or using some of those reusable ice containers in the lunch bag, and maybe have a foil inside your lunch bag so that it helps food stay cold, an insulated bag, for instance. Another thing to do is to be creative with your leftovers and figure that you're going to have a different recipe for your second meal. So maybe the first meal you serve, let's say, roast beef, and you serve it as sliced roast beef as more of a center of the plate. The next day you might serve it, let's say, as a stir fry. And then the third day, maybe you would have soup, a vegetable and beef soup. If you made more than what you can use in 3 days for lunch and your evening meal, then freeze it on that first day and slice it. Maybe you could have it for sandwiches later on in the week or later that month. You can also freeze it as chunks, and that way some night when you're wanting to pull it out and thaw it, you've got another meal ready to eat, like what you had 1 week, you have it the next week. Or again, you make it into a completely different recipe, but you don't have to have beef like 5 nights in a row. That way you can mix it up and have a variety of foods. You could also stretch that plain meat, beef or pork or chicken, and mix it with some cooked dry beans like red beans or black beans or chickpeas. There's just lots of ways, and it really is a wonderful cooking method as well as a way to reduce food loss.
A lot of this boils down to just making some plans and being a little bit more conscious of what we're doing.
A lot of it really is awareness, and realizing that you could get 51 days of free meals makes a little bit of planning worth it. And knowing that it really makes a big difference, not only in your time and your budget on the personal level, but it makes such a big difference in terms of our natural resources and all of the resources that happen to get the food from the farm to the plate. And then if we just waste it, it's just a huge amount of loss and unnecessary. I've presented lots of ways that you could do this, and maybe someone is hearing this feeling overwhelmed, like, oh, that's so many things. You don't have to do all of them at once. Just start with one or two things. Or maybe you were already doing some of these, but you didn't realize how important it was. And so just keep on doing something. And as you get that habit made, maybe you could look around and add something else and then gradually reduce your food waste that is avoidable.
That's K-State Research and Extension Human Nutrition Specialist Mary McHiggins. More information on reducing food waste is available at county and district extension offices and on the extension website www.ksre.ksu.edu. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman, and this is the K-State Radio Network.